I am Piero Lumumba here at the Manzoni Wildlife Estate in Machakos County in our Republic of Kenya, in our continent of Africa. And we continue to discuss diverse aspects of African society. And what we focus on today is the leopard societies. You know, the leopard has a unique history in many African societies. It's one of the bigger of the cats, if you may. It is spotted, it is nimble, it is an animal that has claws, it has unique eyes, and in African societies, there were secret societies. And these societies, the one that we focus on is the leopard. The leopard society were particularly known in the countries that we now refer to as Sierra Leone, Ivory Coast, Niger, and even as far as Nigeria. It is what they did that was only known to the initiated. In other words, you had to be a member of it. And there were many of them. If you went to different countries, you'd have the Poro, or the Sande, the Ekpe, the Ogboni societies. And they were informed by certain clear rules. First of all, there was the fact that they were the ones that gave authority. Even where there was royal authority, these secret societies, that is the word or the terminology you will use, were societies that remained the anchors. And invariably, one knew that whoever was a monarch in some way had some affiliation with one of these societies. Number two, it was initiation into adulthood. Not in that sense that if you are a member of a society and you are now moving into the next stage of life, there are certain secrets of the clan, secrets of the society to which you would be initiated, and you would then become a member who could be trusted with information. Number three, it was also a preservation of the culture and tradition of the communities, because these were the custodians of the culture and the traditions of the societies. Number four, there are issues of spirituality of these communities, which had to be made known to only very few. And number five, it was create order and loyalty amongst people who are the anchors of the society. This can be described as having been the code of many of these societies. And in order to ensure that the societies were kept in check, they were bound by oaths. So that if you had been initiated into any of these secret societies, you become the recipient and therefore the repository of certain knowledge which should only be known to the initiated few. And what did you do? You swore. And when you made this oath, there were penalties. And in societies also, there were times when there was war. How did you immunize yourself against enemies? And this is why I think later in time, when the colonialists came, they were saying that these were societies that were heathen. These were societies that were engaged in ritual killing. These were societies that were engaged in cannibalism. These were societies that were engaged in anti-social activities because they did not understand their modus operandi. But the truth be told, depending on which society one belonged to, there were times when you swore against an enemy. And there are societies in those parts of the world where if you were engaged in war and you captured an individual, then you would possibly eat portions of the parts of the body of an individual, the heart, for possibly, the heart was a favorite thing. You eat somebody's heart. And once you've eaten somebody's heart, then you become bold. You are emboldened. You fear nothing. You no longer fear blood. These were initiation ceremonies. And they also, in order to embolden them and to give them the strength that they needed, or so they believed. And because they were initiated into the leopard society, they also would capture leopards and use their claws. And remember, the leopard's claws are very important in terms of this secrecy, because the leopard's claws are never exposed. They recede, and in this way, whenever they went into their killing sprees, if you may, they would scratch places, and they believed, some believed, that actually these are individuals who could shift. They could change into leopards. So if they went into a place and they find somebody had been killed, and then there were scratches, which were leopard scratches, you would believe that these are indeed unique beings. So part of the reason why this thing was done is that it was there were societies which were steeped in mysticism. And mysticism was very useful in terms of ensuring that the society respected them, perhaps feared them, perhaps revered them, perhaps even dealt with them as if they were totally different beings. And let us be very clear that although it is the men who dominated these societies, there were societies which were secret, which were also women's societies. The Sande, for example, who are to be found to be operating in areas such as Sierra Leone, was a women's secret society. And what they did is that they used these societies for purposes of initiation and even training. And I think it is important to talk about this. You may say that there were no schools. Today, when we think about many societies, we think about royalty, and the royalty have their own special school. And you see it in different civilizations. If you look at civilizations such as in India, you read books such as the Mahabharata and the Ramayana, you see princes being trained in special schools. There were special schools among secret societies in Africa. And this is where you are trained in warfare. This is where you are trained in tradition. This is where you are trained in spiritual mysticism. This is where you are trained on how to deal with the women. If you are men, how do you deal with women? How do you deal with different clans? And if it was a women's society, how do you deal with men? So these were, in a manner of speaking, academies of sorts. So their education aspect must never be ignored. Number two, the martial aspect must also never be ignored, because some of them were the societies which came up with things which will define how the society would defend itself from other communities. And then, to the extent that the royalty also required to be kept in check, these were the societies at which people who are governing societies would be summoned and would be required to account. So in terms of social cohesion, these societies were very critical and they were very useful. And when the colonialists started arriving into that part of the world, it is these societies that became the prefects, if you may, and the preservers of culture and tradition. It is these societies that were able to tell the people, we are confronting a new people, a people who want to change our culture, a people who want to change our religion, a people who want to change our laws, a people who want to change the ways in which we are doing our things. We must preserve our culture and tradition. And for that reason, in secret, even when the colonialists were doing what they were doing, it is these societies that assisted in ensuring that culture and tradition was preserved, even if that was done in a subterranean way. It is for that reason, therefore, that when the colonialists started taking root and enacting laws, they said that these were witch doctors, and that they were steeped in witchcraft, that they were steeped in cannibalism, that they were steeped in ritual killing, that they were engaged in activities which were inimical to civilization. And for that reason, in the 20th century, we now begin to see an onslaught on secret societies. And this onslaught is mounted not only by the French or the British, it is mounted by colonialists and even by missionaries. Because missionaries are saying that in order to be true Christians, you cannot continue to belong to things which are satanic. But that was not the truth. The truth was that these were the preservers of a people's culture. These were individuals who belonged to societies whose reason for existence was to protect their communities. And in any event, when we look at the value of the early resistance, it will be appreciated that, in fact, it is these societies that preserved many of the cultures and traditions that we now see as manifesting themselves as latter-day kingdoms, latter-day in the sense that they are a manifestation of what used to happen in the kingdoms in Sierra Leone, in the kingdoms in Nigeria, in the kingdoms in Mali, in the kingdoms in La Côte d'Ivoire. It is as a result of these secret societies, which, as I've said, were characterized as leopard. And this leopard is simply a name to define how secretive they were and how effective they were. And their societies, which when the debate is long concluded, it may very well be said that they were not secret societies, but societies with secrets, whose main agenda was to ensure that culture, tradition was preserved. They were the bulwark against the colonization of peoples bodily and spiritually. That is the leopard societies that existed in that part of the world. Africa never ceases to amaze. Thank you very much. As we continue with our debates on the continent of Africa, we are covering all. As we've said before, the good, the bad, and the ugly is the subject of our discourse. But we'll come back again to continue this conversation. Thank you.